And I find I can't get over
losing, losing to you. That's where I'm dedicating. There you go. Alfred Blue.
Blue.
What do we know about Al Blue that we didn't know already, I guess, Scott? Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram joining us this morning.
Well, I know that the Browns couldn't stop him. You know, I mean, I thought that was a huge break when Arian Foster was ruled out. I mean, he's a top five back in the league, having a big year. And when he was downgraded out Saturday, I thought that was the last hurdle for the Browns. But, you know, they really couldn't stop Blue. And the quarterback, Ryan Mallett, making his first career start, did not look like he was making his first career start. He was awful comfortable, and they just outplayed the Browns.
What do you think? We make these guys that are getting their first shot or rookies or, you know, inexperienced, we make them seem like they've been doing it all along and they get record-setting days. What happened?
Well, you know, the Browns run defense has been an issue all year, and I thought that they had fixed it to some degree against Cincinnati. You know, they played better. You saw signs over the last month that it was getting to some degree better. But yesterday it was bad, and then Houston got up, and they kept running it, and the Browns really, they had no answer for it. So, you know, that's going to be a problem because teams are going to continue to run the ball on them. You know, and you have to say this, the Browns have been hurt on the defensive line. Phil Taylor's out for the year. John Hughes is out until maybe the last game. They lost Armani Bryant. You know, he was another defensive lineman. Reuben's been hobbled. Billy Wynn's been hobbled. So they've had some issues up there. Yesterday they lost Jabal Sheard and inside linebacker Carlos Dansby. So they had some issues, but the fact is you have to be able to stop the runner or else you're going to see it all day long, and it just deflates you. You're on the field too long. Having said all that, the Browns have been able to do a good job keeping teams out of the end zone largely. They're in the top 10 in scoring defense, but I just don't know. I just don't think you can win in this league giving up 200 yards rushing.
Scott, I heard during yesterday's broadcast on the Browns radio network from Jim and Doug and the guy on the sideline saying the Browns
Nathan.
Seemed flat, that they didn't have any enthusiasm. I'm thinking, they're at home. They've got 68,000 people in there. I know people. They're human just like anybody else, but come on.
Well, to me, that's always an interesting thing to try to put your finger on. Is a team flat? Like Joe Hayden after the game, the cornerback said, you know, oh, we got to come out with more spunk. You know, we were flat. And then when he got talking about it more, he said, when I say that, I mean, we didn't make any big plays. And if you don't make any big plays, then it's tough to be energized. And, you know, I don't think it's a lack of effort. You know, I think a team comes out and, you know, first of all, there's a human element to it. And I don't think you can play at your peak level for all 16 games. You know, teams have ebbs and flows. The key is to get out of that funk, to pull yourself out, for somebody to make a play that energizes the team, that energizes the crowd. And to me, it felt like that play never happened. And I think the Browns had a chance in the second quarter as a tie game. They were marching, and then Crowell had the fumble, which was a huge play in the game. Houston goes down and scores, and the Browns never scored again. So, you know, I think maybe it's something to do with coaching. Maybe it's a mindset of the team that they were so excited the week before that, you know, they let it go to their heads and they weren't as motivated maybe this week as they'd been on national TV, which obviously is a problem. But I think it's just too simple to say the team came out flat, they weren't ready. Well, you know what, I've covered a lot of NFL games, and when you lose, that's what the team usually says.
You lose, you're flat. You're winning, you're all puffed up, I suppose. Well, we did have a return that got called back, so there was some exciting moments or parts of things that could have happened, but that could have, would have, should have stuff obviously never works for us.
Well, and that's, you know, it's another thing that happened. You know, every time you have a win or loss, you point to, okay, the key play is in the game. Well, the fact is the Browns did not play their best, but they, you know, no team plays their best for all 16 games, so you have to win when you're not. And there were points in yesterday's game that were huge plays, and if they'd gone the Browns away, if the Browns hadn't self-destructed, then it would have come down to the end of the fourth quarter, where if you make one more play, you can win the game. And we've seen that this year before. The kick return is a great example. The guy has a hold, brings back the kick return, that takes 7 points off the board. The fumble I mentioned, if Correll keeps the ball and the Browns score there, they go into halftime up 14-7, and there's a whole different vibe coming out of the locker room. The Browns have the ball. Who knows? Billy Cundiff misses a short field goal to start the game. You get a little momentum there. It didn't happen. They ran a flea flicker where they Hoyer handed off, running back pitched back to him. He's got Travis Benjamin wide open. It's a touchdown. And Nick McDonald, the center, just can't keep the guy off of Hoyer, and he gets drilled as he releases. The ball floats and doesn't get to Benjamin. Any of these plays is a difference in the game. Paul Kruger had an interception, hit him in the face mask because the throw got to him so fast. Any of those plays go the Browns' way, and it's a different game. Houston starts feeling a little nervous. The Browns feel more excited, and the game can turn. The fact is the Browns just didn't make any of those plays, and when you compound that with the fact that Hoyer was pressured, he was inaccurate. The defense couldn't stop the run. All of a sudden, you lose the game 23-7.
23-7, the final. Texans beating the Browns yesterday. If I had a hand, now I know it's losing and nobody wants one, but I would give a game ball to Spencer Landing, the punter. I'm just telling you, there was enough action for him for a whole, you know, season worth of things. Having J.J. Watt come at you twice, and then that kind of high snap where he kind of had to quickly kick it. Not too bad for his job.
Well, no, you're exactly right. The Watt stuff was bad enough. It's Lansing did not take that well. He thought that. He wouldn't say that Watt was dirty, but he was kind of going in that direction, that Watt came after him because that's what he does. He comes after the punter, and then Landing kind of said something sarcastic to him after the first one. So Watt stayed in for the second punt try and hit him again. In Landing's opinion, it wasn't close, and Watt was just kind of coming after him. And then that play where the punt went over his head, it's so fast. You know, it's moving so fast. He collects the ball. He's thinking, do I try to throw it? Do I try to kick it out of the end zone for safety? Do I kick it left-footed? And he's able to get just enough space, so he kicked it right-footed and kicked it about 30 yards. So, to me, he did have a big game.
Yeah, he did. But that's obviously just a small portion of everything. But all three phases of the game didn't do well for the Browns. Is the talk now all going to be about Josh Gordon and next Sunday? What's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if you're the Browns, first of all, you look at, okay, that was one loss. Like Joe Thomas said, we're still in control of our own destiny. There's six games left. You know, he wasn't ready to panic or anything. But I think you can also, if you're the Browns, go, you know what, we can flip this script in a hurry because we have our best skill player returning today. He's able to rejoin full team activities today. We're hoping to talk to him today. And you talk about all the injuries the Browns have, and Dansby could be out for a while, and who knows about Sheard could be out for a while. But you bring back a huge piece of your offense that is a game changer. And for all the teams that are loading up to stop the Browns' run, they won't be able to do that with Josh Gordon on the field because he's that big of a presence. So it should help the run game. It should help Hoyer. You know, as inaccurate as Hoyer has been at times, he's thrown to some small targets with these receivers. Josh Gordon is the kind of guy who could throw the ball up and he'll go make a play. And that's nice when you're a quarterback. You know, you don't have such a small window to throw to. So, you know, I assume Josh is going to be in good shape. I assume he'll be able to have a relatively instant impact. I don't know if it'll be, 200 yards a game, but I think he will affect the offense in a positive way. And I think that's a reason for the Browns to feel optimistic over these last six games in this playoff push.
And the only film that they have to look at Josh Gordon is from last year, which is a good thing, as opposed to anything this year that we could have him look at.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I guess that's an added benefit. They can see how good Josh Gordon is. They can't see what Kyle Shanahan, how he's going to use him, which is a plus. But if you're a defensive coordinator, I think you have to double-team him. And then what you won't know is how Shanahan takes advantage of that. If it's through the run, if it's thrown to the other side of the field, or if Shanahan can find a way with his play action to get Josh those one-on-one deep shots that, like a Travis Benjamin's been getting, maybe those will become Josh's, and then Josh is a bigger target, you know, bigger guy, and maybe Brian will be able to have more success.
Have we played in a dome yet this season?
No, in fact, the only turf game they've played is the Cincinnati game. So they'll be in the dome on turf against Atlanta. And I think that's the only one, because they're in Carolina, Baltimore, Buffalo.
Right. Okay, so that sometimes that adds a lot to the game, how quick it is, how quick it goes, and and that sort of thing. I think, by the way, I think that the coach Patton should bring back the sunglasses. I think that's the thing. That's why we didn't win yesterday. He wasn't wearing the sunglasses.
Even if it's cloudy and 35 degrees?
Sure. It just has the look. He needs that look on the sidelines.
Okay, I'll pass that along.
Okay, sure you are. Scott Petrick with the Chronicle Telegram. Talk to you next Monday, hopefully after a Browns victory over the Falcons. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.